brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Gordon. Thanks for tuning in to Burr & Foreman's Results Matter Radio. It is March 26, 2013, and we are in our downtown studio location. Today is a special episode of Results Matter Radio. We are going to spotlight Lead Atlanta, and I have three wonderful guests in the studio with me today from Lead Atlanta who are going to share their experience. Dana Barrett is also with me in the studio producing the show. Hey, Dana.
Good morning.
So, in our studio today, our three fabulous guests, we've got Anna Ruth Williams with ARPR, Kashi Siegel, co-founder and CEO of Gigabark, and Brad Stevens, co-founder and president of Whiter Image LLC. So before we start talking about Lead Atlanta, I'd like to spend a couple of minutes just getting to know our guests a bit. Anna Ruth, let's start with you. So you own a PR firm, ARPR. Tell me about how you got into PR and the types of clients that your company works with.
Sure. I'm tweeting right now, so I'm going to be really fulfilling my PR mission. So I work with technology leaders and innovative startups. I founded ARPR 8 months ago, so I'm a relatively new entrepreneur. Prior to that, I was on the agency side, where I also managed B2B accounts. And I originally started my career in politics. I was in political communication, and I was a press secretary, and I actually came to Georgia to do the 2010 governor's race and decided that I loved Atlanta and that I was going to stay. And things have just have gone really amazing since. And I never dreamed I'd be an entrepreneur this young, but it's been amazing. And I'm sitting next to two other entrepreneurs who also inspired me in the journey.
Well, there's a lot of great entrepreneurial energy in this town, and we're very pro-ATL, so I love to hear the story and why you've decided to stay. So what is the challenge that you find a lot of technology companies have in communicating their message to their audience or their prospective customers?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I work with some startups, some tech startups, and I'm located in Atlanta Tech Village, which is full of really big ideas and high growth companies. And startups really, their challenge is, how do I enter the marketplace? How do I launch and make a difference from day one? And then some more of my early stage companies who are maybe their seventh year of business will say, gee, I've had like 7 years of successes and growth, but we haven't been messaging about all that. We kind of got stuck in our way. We haven't been raising brand awareness and kind of revamping our brand as we've grown. So usually early stage and more established companies hire me when they're looking to kind of grow their brand, reassess their messaging, and take their new products a lot of times to the marketplace.
Awesome. So speaking of messaging, let's bring Kashi into the conversation now. CEO of Gigabark, which is a mobile messaging company specializing in phone, text, and survey broadcasts. Tell me about that and why do companies need such a service?
Well, companies right now are trying to lower their costs, be more efficient, and focus on their core business. And so we help them do that. You can outsource your communications to your customers, to your employees, to your fans, to us, basically. And we give you the tools to do it yourself over the web, or we will build you a fully customized solution behind the scenes so it works with your database or whatever software you're using.
So companies, we were kind of chatting about this before we went on the air about how much messaging is necessary these days. You know, once a month press release is really just not going to do it. Companies need to be communicating all the time with all these different audience types. What do you hear from them in terms of their challenges in meeting their market in this way?
I think the challenges for a lot of companies is getting through to their audience. Email, we're finding, is less effective. Open rates are, you know, at best 22%. So how do you really get your audience to click on that link or see what you're really trying to tell them. And text messaging has a 98% open rate, so you can't beat that. So how do you use something like that in a way that's not intrusive to your customers and your audience, but in an effective way to get them to click on the link in the text or get them information real time that is important to them?
Now, Kashi, you're also very involved in the community, co-founder of two nonprofit organizations, Music for Tomorrow and Mentor Walk. What inspired you to start these organizations, and who do they serve?
I think I have grown up with my parents always teaching us to give back and do more for the community. And so my brother and I both learned that growing up. So Music for Tomorrow is an organization that he and I started together with a friend right after Hurricane Katrina to serve the jazz musicians affected by the storm. 90% of them left after Hurricane Katrina. And the Mentor Walk is something that I started with my mom's foundation to help the at-risk kids in Atlanta and affect the high school graduation rate. So we're trying to work on that.
Awesome. Now, Brad Stevens is the president and co-owner of Whiter Image. And when he walked in the room, we all asked him to give us a big smile. Brad's company is a distributor of professional and consumer teeth whitening products for the dental and beauty industries. Brad, tell us how you got into this. What sparked entrepreneurial that in you that you realized, hey, this is a really great company idea and I want to make this a startup venture?
Well, that's the thing about the entrepreneurial journey. You don't know where it's going to take you sometimes as far as the opportunity. So I've kind of been a serial entrepreneur since I got out of college and come from a family background of that. And it's been a layer of different businesses I've been involved with, starting with a mail order pharmaceutical business and helping low-income people qualify for free medications. So the first company I had, and I partnered with a doctor and translated into a vitamin nutraceutical business, full weight management wellness solution that we offered for the spa, medical spa, and overall gynecological community. And then that kind of ended up leading into kind of a story on how that evolved into teeth whitening. We identified a need and an opportunity to distribute products. We started in the beauty industry, spa salon, tanning salons. Most people think of teeth whitening products in the mass retail environment of the Crest White Strips and that kind of thing in the retail or pharmacy, or you go, you know, purely to your dentist. So we started seeing there was an opportunity in the beauty arena to distribute whitening products, and that eventually actually ended up leading into the dental market and distributing and selling products there. And so we're nationwide now with about 8,000 accounts in both markets. And what we differentiated ourselves with, that we saw an opportunity, because cosmetic is, you know, teeth whitening is not anything new by any means, but it's teaching these businesses how to use it as a marketing tool, not only as an internal profit center, but as a marketing tool to draw in clients and customers, which is more challenging than ever these days.
Because your clients are the dentists, so you're looking at it as the business opportunity from their perspective.
Correct. We have, you know, the two divisions. One that we sell, what okay. I broadly call beauty, which is spas, medical spas, tanning salons, that we sell a certain type of product that they distribute to their customers. And they are our customers. We work with them on how to distribute the products, build the program. And then we have a dental division where we do the same thing. We work with the dentist on how to implement the program into their practice.
Do you find that something that you get a lot of repeat customers? It's not like I'm white now and I'm good to go for the rest of my life. Or it's something that people continue to use on a regular basis once they see the results?
It varies by individual, depending on the type of offering, you know, the types of service that are available in the dental. There's everything from full in-office whitening, that's a very powerful procedure that has a much longer lasting effect, to just pure take-home retail. So it's just a matter of results and budget the client wants to spend. But there's same people, some like tanning folks that live in the tanning bed. There's people that live with Crest White Strips in their mouth, for sure. Which is definitely has its harms, so we caution against that. But there definitely is a repeat, you know, purchase cycle with it.
And like all of my guests, Brad, you're also very involved in the community as well. You're on the board of Achievers International, a nonprofit focused on educational outreach, and also co-founder of an annual charity that supports Breast Cancer Survivors Network. What are some of the reasons that these were causes that you chose to get involved in as you looked at contributing?
Sure. Well, the Achievers International actually started when I was in high school, and it was an organization that was built on teaching entrepreneurialism in the high school kind of a arena. And the organization had a mission. It was only one of its kind in the country. It started in Georgia, that paired high schools in the state of Georgia with high schools in other countries, and provided a vehicle to learn international business, running a business, everything from setting, you know, we sold stock to raise money and had to identify products that we could import and sell and export to sell. So had a really tremendous experience with that organization throughout high school and helping them be a part of it. So after I got to college, I stayed connected with the organization, stayed on the board, and helped involve with different events and things that they have.
Very cool.
As far as the other event, I mean, breast cancer is just tremendous, and it's an issue that reaches far and wide. And so a buddy in mine, which actually kind of evolved from something that happened around my birthday, actually, which is in September, to an event. My grandmother actually has a big piece of land down the south side of town, and it evolved into, we call it actually Blow 'em Up for Boobies. It's a breast cancer awareness deal that happens in October, and it's a big skeet shooting tournament and handgun tournament. Actually, we have people come down, and we people pay to attend, and we actually had just over 100 people this past year. And so people pay to attend. We raise funds that way, and then we actually did a ton of raffle items as well that we were able to generate a lot of funds. So we raised close to $5,000 this past year with it.
That's awesome. So I'm so inspired to hear about all of your exciting entrepreneurial ventures and all of your community involvement. So let's now talk about the Lead Atlanta program. Can you guys describe some of the programs that you've been a part of this year? It's a 9-month program that a class goes through every year. So tell us about what the program's been like, because this is the 2013 class, right?
Yeah. Our class is about 50 people, and they're all between the ages of, I believe, 26 and 32. So do we want to start by talking about their opening retreat and then kind of go through programs?
Sure.
All right. I'll talk about retreat, and then
Camp
I'll pass
Rock
it to you.
Eagle.
And then I'll pass it to you guys. Yeah, so we went to Camp Rock Eagle. I believe, was that in the month of August, perhaps?
September.
It was on my birthday, actually.
Oh, we didn't have a cake for you.
Very
and the
Sorry.
Day of the mentor walk.
Oh, that's right. Tasha was coordinating 800 people walking the day of the opening event.
So when you get selected for the Lead Atlanta program, you don't really know exactly what to expect. But we walked into our opening retreat, which was a 2.5-day, I believe, event, and we had it at Camp Rock Eagle. And you walk in and you're in a room with 50 other people who are just like you, who have a lot of community service, who are, you know, kind of on a high growth track in terms of their leadership within their industry. So you have a lot of type A, kind of hyper, can't sit in their seat, like to talk a lot people,
right,
all your age. And you might think that wouldn't gel well. But actually, by the time you leave the retreat that weekend, you realize that you're in an organization with 50 people who will have your back for the rest of your career. And it's an amazing network. So at the retreat, it's a lot of get to know you, really getting to the core of leadership skills. And then once you leave retreat, once a month, we have a program day, and I'll pass it to Takashi and Brad to talk about some of our program days. But really, the retreat kind of lays the foundation for what you then bring back to Atlanta.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a very powerful kickoff experience.
It was.
What are the programs then like coming after
Well, the program, I think, and ultimately is rooted, and it kind of came from Leadership Atlanta, which has been around much longer. That was typically for, you know, more seasoned executives in the business community, designed to make them aware of issues that are going on in Atlanta right in their backyard. So the Lead Atlanta program, which is targeted more towards the young professional arena, it's actually an age group of 26 to 32. So, like, I slipped in literally the day of my birthday. I just turned 33 that Saturday. So the program was designed to kind of mimic a lot of the same programs, I think, that were done in Leadership Atlanta. And they were around understanding issues in the city. The first event actually was about just being a leader, and they had some speakers come and talk to us on just the history and background, even to the biology of being a leader. An Emory professor, I think, came and spoke with us. It was just a really interesting perspective, and leaders from different walks of life, everything from the president of the Chick-fil-A Bowl to the guy who runs the fundraising for the Arthur Blank Foundation, to the Emory professor I had mentioned. Great insight and perspective, laid a good foundation. And then the second event that we had was that SimSoc?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll let Kashi expand on that experience.
Oh, yay. All right, so SimSoc was really exciting because you basically take part in a mock city.
Simulated society.
There we go. But it was a simulated society, and we really got an opportunity at that point to interact with our other classmates in a very controlled environment. But it was great because you learned a lot about each other and your personalities and who's competitive and who's not. And, you know, it was great. Just putting into perspective some of the things that people in society go through. And it was just a fun experience. And I think that same day or that same program day, we also did an activity where we talked about similarities and differences between the class. And we did this really great exercise where we were all facing each other across a line, and you would step forward if some category or adjective applied to you. So were you adopted, or, you know, do you come from a single family home, or whatever? So there was a whole list, and it was a really eye-opening experience to see how similar we are in so many ways, but yet how different.
It showed you the power of assumption that you have, and that was part of what it was, is these are all people that we've been around for the last, you know, had several pretty in-depth experiences, and you would just have no clue. So it's just the power of perception and assumption about individuals, and that kind of theme ran through some of the other events that we did, particularly on the homelessness that we got to experience.
Right. I mean, the power of the program really opens your eyes, as you're saying, to what's going on in the city that we all live in.
Yeah.
Were there misconceptions that you had about Atlanta that being a part of this program opened your eyes to or changed your perspective on the city?
Absolutely. I think it's the immersion activities. So, Kashi and Brad, we've talked about kind of the program days, but then you move into these immersion activities that you kind of do on your own time, so to speak. So usually after business hours. And the two that struck me most, and they can weigh in as well, was we got to ride along with a Grady ambulance supervisor. So really gave an eye-opening perspective into public health issues in Atlanta and the disparity of preventative medicine in a lot of ways. So that was very interesting. And then we also toured the Fulton County Jail. And that was also very, very insightful and definitely gave a different perspective on the city that I didn't previously have. A lot of the inequality issues, the lack of education. Those were very, very insightful for me.
I
was touching on the jail issue for me specifically was the impact of mental illness. And that you know, people don't realize the Atlanta Fulton County Jail is known worldwide. People fly in from all over the world to kind of see how that facility is operated.
Quite an operation.
It has made you proud of kind of the way that they've gone about setting that up to deserve such respect. But one issue that was brought up is that, you know, that facility actually has an in-house mental illness type related facility that helps people because that's what drives a tremendous amount of the population in jail is mental illness related issues, and then how much of a shortage there is of resources. People that have been there for 15, 20 years working the jail, they could just go on and on about the lack of resources from a mental illness standpoint, or people that shouldn't be in jail but need an additional resource, and there's just a tremendous lack of that out there.
So finding more about these problems and their root causes allows you to conceptualize solutions from maybe a different point of view.
Yeah. It's interesting, the perspective, because it seems like, Brad, you thought the psych unit was well-run and stuff. I come from a completely different perspective because I am a mental health advocate, and I work with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. So when I saw the psych unit, I actually thought it was actually poor conditions for treating our mentally ill, and it's never going to truly let those patients recover and find true recovery in their health condition.
And this thing is, it's one of the only ones that has one.
Yeah.
Can you imagine ones that don't even have one?
But it's interesting the perspective that each class member brings, because I looked at it and saw something completely different that Brad did. And then we come together and talk about it. In fact, we had a dinner the other night where we just debriefed and we said, oh my gosh, we've just seen all these amazing insights behind the scenes of the city of Atlanta. Let's talk it out. And we all shared our perspective and it was all, you know, really well received. So, gosh.
One other thing I wanted to share. I did the Atlanta Fire Ride Along.
Okay.
And it's just amazing how much they do on a daily basis that's not related to fire, and people don't realize that. There were a lot of medical calls and some pretty interesting stuff, but I just have such a newfound – I've always respected the people in our community that serve and our first responders, but – you know, I think it just took it to another level for me in terms of just how dedicated they are and how hard they work all night. So,
and we are very poor at recycling. That's another thing.
We did do a landfill tour.
That was a really cool experience. Unfortunately, the day we went, there was a huge fog, so we didn't get a chance to see the big mountain that's up there. But it's up in way up 75. I don't remember
Pine Bluff
landfill. And so we got a chance to just, it was fascinating to learn how they create a landfill and how it's structured, but learned a lot of interesting statistics that you know, only Atlanta, I think, only recycles, you know, 15% of our post-consumer goods.
Ouch.
Here. And when you compare it to the super green folks of Portland and Seattle, they're upwards of 80 to 90%. It was a big kind of shame on us moment. And as an entrepreneur, I was seeing a tremendous opportunity. That may be my next venture after whitening is I actually have a good friend of mine that's in the recycling business in Atlanta, but it's, you know, in all seriousness, it's a significant issue and just makes you very aware of when you throw away that next bottle, what it really means, and that we've really got to get focused on it because there's only so much land you can dump into.
Right. It is a limited resource we're sitting on. So what has the LEED Atlanta program taught you about yourself, helped you evolve personally, professionally, or think about what you might want to be doing next as you look at the future?
I think it's taught me a few things, but most of all, we mentioned that the LEED retreat, the opening retreat, was the same weekend as my big mentor walk event. And I think that really taught me the value of being flexible as a leader and delegation, which is not something that I think a lot of us type A in control people like to do, but it really taught me the necessity of that in terms of growing a business and growing a program. So I think that's the biggest thing I've gotten out of it, but also just getting to meet 50 incredibly talented, driven individuals who are relatively my age. I'm a little older. I'm 33 like Brad. But it's just been amazing to get inspired and learn to think a little differently or outside the box from some of the people that I've met. So I appreciate that.
What do you guys think makes the LEED program so successful?
I think she said it absolutely starts with the people and the selection process that they went through to choose folks. And while, as Andrew said, you walked into that room, there's a lot of people that were similar. There were similarities in terms of people's drive, ambition. People were there for the right reasons. It wasn't a resume-building item. People were in a place in their life of genuinely craving additional perspective, additional knowledge, introspection. So it's exciting being around that kind of group of folks that all come from some different walks. There's everything from, you know, from entrepreneurs like ourselves to attorneys to teachers to nonprofit to just a wide range. But there was a commonality of passion and drive. So it offered some overlap of passion as well as some diversity in background. But perspective is one of the biggest things I've taken from it is walking into each of these days that we do once a month, you just know it's going to be just incredibly fulfilling experience intellectually, emotionally, you know, across the board, and obviously learning about our town. Growing up in Atlanta, I'm kind of shame on myself for not knowing as much as I should about Atlanta growing up here, and inspired me to definitely get engaged and more motivated to work, you know, with issues related to the city going forward.
I had a quick question. Sorry to butt in, but you guys have mentioned several times the selection process. Can you talk a little bit more about what that's like and how it works?
Some waterboarding involved.
Nice. That's what I thought.
That's just to tell people.
I just wanted to confirm.
quick Gitmo trip.
Oh, that's a good point because it is competitive, and you guys all made it through. So,
yeah, I'm not sure why they let us in.
I know.
I don't know the numbers. I wish someone from the program was here. I I will venture to say they might have, what, 250 applicants a year or so?
I don't know. I heard it was like 4,000.
Yeah. So you're right. We're very elite. So they have a large pool of applicants. And it's first based, you get nominated. So as we're current class members, we just nominated for the next class, and they're currently going through selections now. But your nominations, you know, who nominates you plays a little bit of a part, I think, as well. And so then you write these essay questions. A lot of them have to do on formative experiences you've had to this point, your professional ambitions and so forth, and then what you maybe see as a challenge. The city of Atlanta, I believe, was one of our essay questions. I think my answer was transportation. And then you go into an interview process, and you're interviewed by a former alumni, or an alumni. And the alumni kind of looks, from what I've heard, the alumni looks to make sure you would blend in culturally with the class. So yes, you might have a very unique perspective, and you might be passionate about X issue, but do you have the perspective and the willingness to open yourself up and hear others in different settings? So you go through the interview process, and then you're selected. And then you go into retreat, and it's been a really great experience. One thing I want to throw in there that we didn't really talk about was one day we had on homelessness, mm-hmm. And we kind of broke up into different groups and all toured a different homeless shelter or facility, in town. And I went to the Genesis shelter, and it's a homeless shelter for parents or mothers with babies. It was incredible. And then we heard from a couple former homeless individuals and how they found a path to become self-sustaining, and be able to afford shelter on a regular basis. Yeah, it was really, really, really interesting. We met at the community food bank for that day too, so it was a good background. But that was another issue that gave us a lot of perspective on the city. And one of my biggest takeaway from that is whenever I see a homeless person now, we learn that homelessness isn't who you are. It's just it's a point at which you are in life. So very interesting.
How people got there, the assumptions that you make in your head, and how you painted that picture of what a homeless person is, and you know, oh, it's just because they don't want to work, or you know, they're not hardworking enough, or they're, you know, got drugs and kind of went off path. You sit there and listen to story after story, and it's the person next to you that could end up being in that place. So it was very enlightening.
Well, it's always eye-opening to have some of these like assumptions kind of challenged. It sounds like you've all grown a lot in your perspective being part of the program. You're graduating in April 12th, so that's right around the corner. What are you going to miss about being part of this program? But of course, as you mentioned, there is kind of an alumni network as well. But what will you miss in April, not being part of it anymore?
Well, for me, I know that we're going to end up maintaining. I mean, I'm certainly going to miss the meetings, the opportunities to engage that they've kind of designed. But again, it goes back to the quality of the people in this class. I have full confidence that we're going to be staying in touch. And, you know, all of us are involved in different things and invite each other to different things that we're involved with nonprofit events or, you know, other productions that may be going on. So definitely going to miss the things that are planned, you know, because those are really unique. But one thing we didn't touch on, I'd like to really make sure as well, as part of the program is we all work with a nonprofit throughout the program. We're putting what's called cohorts and divide up into groups of 7 to 8, and we each work on a nonprofit in town to specifically accomplish an objective that they're trying to get taken care of. Everything from Hosea Feed the Hungry to
Culture Connect.
Teaching fellows.
There's several that they choose. They have to actually apply to allow the lead group to work with them. And so for mine, we're actually working with the Fraser Center that works with people, adult, mentally handicapped individuals, and helping them kind of get back into the public sector and finding skills to work. So I'm definitely going to miss that component. But again, I think a lot of us plan on extending our work with those organizations beyond the lead experience.
And I just want to say there are things we will miss, but something I'm really excited about is becoming part of the bigger LEAD community, because we've spent so much time this year getting to know our class, and I'm excited to get to know past classes and alumni, because, you know, if our class is so rock star, then
we'll actually get to go to the Christmas party next
year. We'll actually get to
alumni.
Go to the alumni
we're
Christmas party.
We're clearly told we weren't allowed to go to
now
the alumni Christmas party.
Part of it.
And yeah, being part of such a powerful network that's been built over all this time is something really special. So as you know, here on the Results Matter show, we always like to finish up the program by talking about results. And as you're all finishing the program, I want to know what kind of results you're looking to achieve. I'm sure you all feel a sense of responsibility to help the community and help fellow young leaders continue on this important journey and really continue to make such a powerful impact here on the city of Atlanta. So what are the results that matter to you and are going to be important for you to focus on going forward? Or talk about past results that you've achieved being part of this program that you're really proud of. Anna Ruth, let's start with you. You're
start.
The PR woman. I'm fine putting you on the spot anytime, right?
So I have two primary objectives that I hope to achieve moving forward. And I've already, because of the class, already begun to, you know, on the road to results.
That's a good name for a show.
Nice.
So one is for my nonprofit, which is the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. I'm chair of the Atlanta chapter. And I hope to use a lot of the connections and a lot of the perspective that I gained to continue to grow that organization. Last year at our walk, we raised $100,000. And this year, I want to raise $125,000.
Excellent.
So, and then in addition to adding more programs throughout the year, and I've really gained a network of individuals from different industries in the class who I know I can leverage and who would be willing to support me since it's a cause I'm passionate about. The second result I hope to achieve is taking my PR business. So I work with technology companies, and I really have changed my perspective from being very revenue centric and, you know, oh, I'm going to be profitable my first year and all this, to how can I use my PR business to elevate Atlanta's technology community, to really give back and drive the economic engine that is technology in this town. And I started that last month. I sponsored Startup Riot, which showcased 30 tech startups in town, and I did PR for the event. And that was important to me. One, it showcased my business, but I was able to give back and elevate the community in town because our economy is really going to depend on information technology moving forward, and we are continuing to attract tech businesses. And if I can play a small part in that economic engine, then I will be extremely satisfied in my company.
That is terrific. Love to hear it. Kashi, next up.
Can I Results? Say ditto? But it's true. I mean, I would like to grow my business, grow my nonprofits, and I think –
right.
By meeting the people that I've met this year, it's going to enable me to do that just through, I think we all just want to help each other, and I have definitely benefited from that. I'm actually headed from here to a meeting that has come directly out of LEAD as a business opportunity. So it's just been amazing to see the growth that has happened through the program for me. But also, you know, in terms of giving back, I know we've talked a lot as a class in some of our dinners and outside events about what can we do as it relates to homelessness or as it relates to the stadium issue in Vine City, which we also covered this year, about what can we do after we are done to continue to give back on some of these issues. And so I see us kind of banding together after the program is done, at least most of the class, to see what we can do to push forward some of the issues that we covered in class. So I'm really excited about that.
That's terrific. Brad? Results.
Results. Well, it hits a couple of different areas, on the professional front, on the personal front. And as I kind of going into it, it was an intellectual thirst, you know, to learn more about the city of Atlanta. You know, when you... you know, head towards having a family, which I'm not a place as of yet, but going that direction, it makes you much more aware about the city and the issues because they impact you in a family in a more significant way than in just an individual, from education to transportation and so forth. So it's really opened up my eyes and made me feel very compelled to be involved more going forward in some of those issues in Atlanta and help contribute any possible way that I can. Personally, it's just impacted all of my different relationships that I have on a professional basis, on a personal basis. It just makes you think broader and have more perspective. So the results from that end were tremendous for me, just in rethinking my thought process on just my daily interactions. And as a business owner and having employees and having to be a leader and inspire and motivate. And for me, it's not, you know, I mean, obviously you gotta have profits, keep the door open, but it's about creating jobs and opportunities for individuals and just thinking more creatively about how to connect with people psychologically. I think a lot of people, we spend 85% of our life at our job, and if you've got an opportunity to make that a positive experience for people financially and personally, they enjoy it. You know, that's a great thing, and I've gathered a lot learning from individuals like Kashi and Anna Ruth and otherwise on how to build the right kind of environment with my company going forward.
Well, this has been fascinating. Thank you all for coming in and sharing about this meaningful experience. I want to make sure people know where to go to find out more about Leadership Atlanta. That website is leadershipatlanta.org. And if you'd like to get in touch with any of our guests today, Anna Ruth Williams, where can people find out more about ARPR?
Yeah, it's annaruthpr.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at AR__PR. And I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook and I blog. And there's no excuse not to connect.
Absolutely. Well, I know I definitely will. Kashi, what about you? Contact information for your organization and your nonprofits as well.
Right. So for Gigabark, you can find us at gigabark.com and also at Gigabark on Twitter and on Facebook. And then the Mentor Walk is at Mentor Walk, also on Facebook at Mentor Walk. And same thing for Music for Tomorrow.
Perfect. And Brad Stevens, Tooth Whitening. Where can I get it?
Well, our main site, our e-commerce site that we have for some of our unique products is Whiter, as in the color, obviously, whiterimage.com. And my email address is bstevens@whiterimage.com. And then we actually launched a really exciting product kind of on the messaging line that we were talking about earlier called Viva. That's an innovative marketing product for small business. It's called at getgreatpatients.com. It's a pretty unique product. So anybody's interested in blinging their grill, hit us up.
I love it. Good times. Thanks so much to my fabulous guests and my super awesome producer, Dana Barrett. Good show, and we will catch you all next week. I'm Elizabeth Gordon. You've been listening to Burr and Foreman's Results Matter Radio. Have a great day.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.